The name of my sermon this morning, as I mentioned, is Today, I Appoint You to Build and to Plant. And so, last week, if you remember, I asked you, what part of the body of Christ would you like to be? Would you like to be the right hand of Christ's body? Would you like to be the left eye of Christ's body? Would you like to be a hair on Christ's body? Then last week I preached that whatever part we have in the body of Christ is equally important, equally loved, equally forgiven, and equally redeemed. And then if you remember the week before last week, we saw the miracle of the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana, and that Jesus created 180 gallons, way more than was needed, of wine. And Jesus was showing us that in Jesus we have a life overflowing with love and grace. In the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, I, in the words of Jesus, have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So that's a summary of the recent words that I've spoken from this pulpit. But today we have these wonderful words. And I'm going to tell you why, but the words of Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I love those words and I will tell you why in a moment. And so, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Please fill me with your words, with your abundant, overflowing love and grace. And help me to speak your love to these people here at this beloved worshiping community and to all who may hear this later this week. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. So I'll tell you something very personal about me. I love any scripture that reminds me that I have been created by God, that I have been formed by God, shaped by God, blessed by God, breathed into by God, lifted up. I love those kinds of scriptures. And so as I was looking in the lectionary for this week, I saw the list of scriptures. I opened my Bible and I found what I truly loved. Oh, well, okay. I love this almost as much. But I found the words of Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, that God said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And these words reminded me of my favorite Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. These kind of scriptures that talk about God's moving and shaping each of us, I love them. But did you notice what else was happening in our scripture this morning? Our scripture was not very long, but it was very rich. Because in verse 9, we had these words. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words into your mouth. Now, perhaps when you thought of that, you have an image in your mind, not just of God the Father, but maybe Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is just kind of a gentle soul. If you see him in movies or plays, he's often very pious and humble, walking around like this, often very thin, very gentle. very spiritual. But these words that the Father God was using are not gentle words. Don't get confused. This touching the mouth of Jeremiah was not a gentle touch. Because if we go back to the original translation, the verb form of that word meant to strike. To strike. And throughout Scripture, Father God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament touches as one who knows people intimately. And remember, Jesus was the son of a carpenter. The hands of Jesus, the muscles of Jesus were very rough-hewn, very strong. Jesus probably had a lot of calluses, a lot of gnarly knuckles on his hands. And if we go to the miracle of the healing of the deaf man in Mark chapter 7, verses 32 and 33. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears. Jesus jammed his fingers into the deaf man's ears. And the blind man at the pool of Bethsaida in Mark chapter 8, verse 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the village. So far, so gentle. And then he spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him. God touches us in a way that is loving, but a way that the love comes from knowing each of us intimately, what we can bear, and knowing how strong we are. On the second floor of our home in Easton, I have an office on one side, at one end of the house, and Sarah has her painting studio on the other. And she often paints canvases that are large, maybe 3 feet by 4 feet. And I am amazed at the way she treats all of her paintings, large and small. She just picks them up and whips them around, brings them up the stairs, down the stairs, out the door, in her car, shoves them in the car. I've seen her take like 20 paintings and put them in her car. I never want to touch one of her paintings. I am freaked out by the thought of touching one of her paintings. I am deathly afraid that if I pick up a painting, small or large, and I try to carry it, somehow I'm going to break it. I'm going to punch a hole in it. I'm going to make the canvas get whatever, you know, like knuckles or, you know, it's weird stuff. I'm going to knock off a corner. Something bad is going to happen. But here's why. Here's why I'm afraid of doing that. I did not create that work of art. But Sarah created each one of these canvases. She knows the texture and strength of the canvas. She knows the texture and strength of the frame. She knows exactly how she can handle these and what they can take, because she was the artist who created them. And so it is with God and the touch of God on each of us. God created us, knit us together, breathed life into us. And while God's hands, let's say his physical hands and Jesus, might be the carpenter's hands, God's hands are always confident and loving and knowing. God doesn't touch us to break us. God touches us to heal us, to fill us with his love and life so we can build and we can plant. I love this story in Jeremiah today. We are all prophets of God. Because as it says, I created you to go speak to the nations. Now, nations doesn't mean every nation in the world. It can just mean the people around you. But God has touched each of our mouths so we can proclaim, not the future version of what a prophet does, but proclaim God version of what a prophet does. And when I asked you last week, what part of Christ's body are you? Whether you know this or not, we are all the mouth of Christ in this world at this time. I was reading about a study of a different Protestant denomination, not Methodist. And this study said that, you know, most of the members of that denomination are reluctant to talk about God or share their faith with other people. Reluctant. In this other Protestant denomination, 90% of the members rarely spoke about Jesus. And then when they narrowed it down to the people who attended church at least twice a month, 35% of those people rarely spoke about Jesus. And you see what these people were doing? They were doing the Jeremiah. They were doing the Jeremiah. And in case you don't know what the Jeremiah is, it's in the scripture. I'm too young. I don't speak good. I'm too shy. That's the Jeremiah. But God is not calling us to do the Jeremiah initial reaction to God. God's calling us to be his prophets, his mouth talkers, his love sharers in this world. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, Peter is addressing the crowds at Pentecost. And Peter says to the crowds, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. And this is us, Royal Oak. Peter might as well be standing here instead of me and saying these words to you, because this is why we gather together. It's one thing to say we share the love and grace of God and we share fellowship, but it needs to be beyond these worlds. You already know that. I understand I'm speaking to the choir. But I'm reminding you that each of us is God's mouth in this world, and all of us are God's mouth in this world. But did you notice the other part of the little dance Jeremiah was doing? Jeremiah was making excuses. He was saying, oh, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just a teenager. Don't look at me. Have you noticed that God always chooses ordinary people? When God's making a choice, he's not going to the leaders of the nation and choosing them. God called Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah so they could be part of the story of the incarnation. Jesus called 12 disciples. But I've said this before, those 12 disciples had been told by their rabbis, you'd be better off just being manual laborer than studying the Bible. And yet Jesus called those 12 people. God is always using ordinary, air quotes, people to do extraordinary, no air quotes, things, because God is continually equipping us and loving us. I'm going to go back to the words of Reverend Edward Marquardt. I quoted him last week, 2 weeks ago, but here's what he says. God chooses you, touches your courage, touches your spirit, touches your mouth, and put words into your mouth, and you too become a prophet, a God talker for the world. And so this is what happens continually in Scripture. Happened to Jeremiah, Moses, Isaiah, John the Baptist, the 12 disciples. Happened to Paul. It happened to all the people whose lives they touched. And it's happening to you and me. In every part of our lives, God opens our hearts, opens our eyes, sanctifies our thoughts, and fills our mouths to speak with love, about love, and to speak with grace, about grace. I've had many, many UMC pastor friends tell me again and again, Tim, God does not call the equipped. He equips the ones he calls. Any sermon that I've ever stood in this pulpit and preached and you said, well, that was a good sermon, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I am so very aware of that. And if I ever stand up here and completely bomb, that's me. Oh yeah, that's definitely on me. So Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, God is telling us today, I appoint you to build and to plant. Now, as we're ending the month of January, fifth Sunday, ending the month of January, the beginning of the year, earlier this month, we looked back on a video of 2021, and we were able to relive and celebrate all the ways we planted and built God's love in this world in 2021. But it's now 2022, and we have already started building and planting. We have already started proclaiming God's love with love and grace with grace. And not only in words, also in deeds. In deeds. Megan said that these are not all the people in the departments, the work in the departments, but other people were serving their patients at the time that we dropped these baskets off. But look at what we have started building and planting. Look at how we were living into God's touching us and calling us to be his voice in this world. Now, these community servant hero baskets, it's not going to stop here. We have other future community service groups that we will be giving baskets to in the coming weeks and months. We also have our Valentine's baskets that we will be giving to the shut-ins and the sick. We have a marriage renewal Sunday coming up. We're also going to have, I didn't tell you this, worship committee members, but we're going to be doing a baptismal renewal sometime also. We're going to have upcoming baptisms. I've had at least two people, ask me about baptizing their kids. We're going to be having a once-a-month child activity. And then there's going to be a once-a-month adult activity to correspond with the child activity after church, once a month. We're already planning these things, but we don't have names yet for them. Do you see that God is moving and working in this world? This is why we have that scripture in our lectionary this morning. God is reminding us, yeah, you guys did a great job. And you're already on a roll to do another job this year. But when you get tired, when you feel anxious, when you feel like you don't know what to do, when you feel like you're not good enough, God is touching us. And he's touching us with a hand, sometimes rough, sometimes soft, but always a hand of love. Because he created us, shaped us, formed us, knit us together, and lifted us up out of the dust. And in case you haven't yet gotten all of this, it comes down to this one simple command. This is the words of John, Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus' words, let me give you a command. Love one another in the same way that I have loved you. Love one another. And so, there's nothing else to say. We have been called, we have been blessed. We have been made, we have been held, we have been breathed into, and we have that God breathing into us. You know, if you look in Genesis, it happens that God did this in the dust and blah, blah, blah. But that's not the end of it. God's breathing into each of us every day. Every day, when we are nervous and we are afraid, when we are upset, when we are joyous, God is breathing into us. And if we just let that breath of God flow into us and let the voice of God speak to us, then we will do more and more and more work in this world and do the very, very important work of bringing love into a time of division, bringing healing into a time of sickness, and bringing a beloved community into a world that needs God's love so much. And so we rejoice that we are called by God to plant and to build. We rejoice that we are called to be God's prophets in this world. And we rejoice that we do this in this wonderful, beloved community. In Jesus' name, amen.